Mind-changing radio.
It's not always about trying to find that negative. It's finding about that, can you step into your boldness?
Do you allow others to dictate your self-worth? International best-selling author Allison Donaghy pinpoints our stuck point of worthiness and helps us get out of the victim mindset. Allison Donaghy, next on Self Talk Radio Show. Brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, now offering hand sanitizers and lotions in scented and unscented. Get yours at pureenergybody.com. Welcome, Allison. Appreciate having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So why has worthiness been a benchmark for you? It seems like that's been a repeat pattern. Can you tell me more about that?
Oh, it definitely has been. What I have come to realize is that there, the foundation to every single thing we say, do, feel, whatever, it comes down to our worthiness. Either we are getting it internally, which is a really healthy place to find it, or where most of us find it is externally, where we play this worth game from other people and we rely on them to make us feel good.
If we have it internally, is that kind of narcissistic, though?
No. I guess everything has a double-edged sword, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not about prioritizing yourself at the expense of other people. It's just simply about prioritizing yourself. See, we are born miracles. Like, we're miraculous. You never look at a baby and go, oh, yeah, nope, not a miracle. Right? You look at the baby and you're like, whoa, this is miraculous. Like, this came from sex? What? You know? And so we see this baby as having value and being worthy. And then we get out into the world and the world tells us we're not good enough and we believe it. And now we are in this cycle of trying to prove to the world we're good enough. Internal worth just means you're coming back and knowing that you have value.
Now, you've had some roadblocks, to say the least. You had a pretty traumatic experience happen to you in high school. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, for sure. In high school, I was raped. I didn't have any friends in high school. My parents had moved across the country. My mom had remarried. And so my mom and stepdad had moved us across the country. And I really felt isolated and had a hard time making friends. I was not happy about the move. And this woman said to me, this girl at school said, hey, do you want to come to my youth group? And I was like, no, I don't want to go to youth group. But of course, I heard myself saying, yes, I would love to go. So, because I just wanted so badly to belong somewhere, I felt so ostracized. And so I went to this youth group. It was a Friday night event. And when I walked in the door, I couldn't help but notice this one guy, and there was all these girls swarming over him. And when he looked up and saw me, he just left all of them and came over and started talking to me. And I was like, whoa, somebody's paying attention to me. I quickly realized I didn't like him. And when he asked me out, I was just like, no, I don't want to go out. And I heard myself saying, yes, I would love to go out with you. Mm. And what I came to realize through that whole experience is that I co-created it. It's not about the shame or the blame. I certainly didn't deserve it. But there was a series of decisions that I made based on my lack of worth that put me in a place where something like that could happen to me. And again, I cannot emphasize enough that is without shame, blame, and condoning bad behavior. But when we can take the emotion out of it and look at a construction of a situation, we're able to see how we co-created that.
Yeah. So you're not saying that you're not blaming yourself for the rape, but you are saying your mindset put you in a position of that being a possibility. Is that,
Absolutely.
Am I reading that right?
Okay. Yeah. For sure. If at any single step of the way I'd seen myself as having value and my feelings as mattering, I would not have said yes. I wouldn't have said yes to going to the youth group. I never would have met him. I wouldn't have said yes to going out on the date. When he came and picked me up, I didn't want to get in his car and I said yes. And when he said we had to go back to his place so that he could get changed because he came straight from work, I didn't want to go back to his place, but I said yes. And when he said, well, hey, let's not go out for dinner and a movie. Let's just sit in here and get pizza and watch a movie. I said, yes. And so at any single point in that time, I said no. And I'm, in fairness, I'm not sure I could have. I had no value in myself to protect myself. But if I had, it would have been a very, very different experience.
So for you, have you ever done this where you talk to your high school self about this situation? What would you say?
Oh, I just would have explained that I had more value, that I was worthy despite what the world had been telling me, that I did matter, and that I needed to trust myself.
Yeah. And that's the thing that a lot of times we don't trust our gut, or we think that's rude.
Yeah.
And, oh, it would be rude. They've invited me to this party, or he invited me to this. And boy, that wouldn't that be, I don't want to come off, and you're a new kid. Totally, totally understand that. And then where's the balance of, you know, being arrogant and being willing, and all of that comes into play, right?
Yeah. And I think arrogance comes when you're trying to get your worth. Just saying no, knowing you have value, and no is an acceptable answer, it's not arrogant. Somebody may take it as arrogant, but that doesn't make it arrogant. That makes their perception of what you said arrogant. And we're not responsible for how people interpret our choices. We are only responsible for how we act on our choices.
Yeah, and what's that Dr. Seuss saying? Those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring it up, because I did a speech, and that was part of my speech one time. I was talking about this woman who had come to my house. We were having a house party, and one of our friends showed up with like 15 people they brought from the bar. And they were all quite a bit younger, and we were having a great time. And one of the guys started hitting on one of the girls, and you could see her shying away from him. And he would lean in, and she would lean away, and then she would lean in, and he would lean in, and then she would lean away. And it was this really strange watching this body language going on. So finally I went over there and I said, hey, I said, I'm not trying to interrupt anything. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I just don't think she's into you the way you think she's into you.
Ooh.
And he went, what? No, she's totally digging me. And she was like, no, and left. Went over and started talking to her friends. And so I ended up having a really amazing conversation with this young man. And he was like, I don't understand. Like, she was leaning in. And I said, yeah, and she was leaning out. And so we talked about all of this. And then she came up to me afterwards and she said, thank you so much. I didn't know how to make it stop.
Wow. And that's confusing from a guy's standpoint. You know, if he thinks that she's giving him all the signals. So how do you know that from a guy's standpoint?
It makes it really difficult. And I think it's just about being blunt and asking, like, hey, are you into me? Should I continue talking to you? Like, however people want to language it, but it has to be verbalized.
Yeah, definitely. We're speaking go ahead.
Sorry. There is a book out there called Talking to Strangers, Malcolm Gladwell. And he talks a lot about how we mistake people's body language all the time, and it comes down to what we expect out of a certain behavior. So when she was leaning into him, he was reading that as interested, which overrode what he should have seen when she was leaning away. But it was a fascinating book about how we get it wrong.
That's interesting. We're speaking with Allison Donaghy, and she's talking to us a little bit about her experiences as now a successful entrepreneur and best-selling author. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you move past your rape in high school into your entrepreneurial self, and the Sunshine Girls painting. I want to hear about that too. When we come back on Self Talk Radio Show.
Can't sleep? Have brain fog? Try this. Sleep meditation, soothing meditations to help you stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby. Sleepmeditation.org.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is international best-selling author Allison Donaghy, and I want to talk about how you move past your rape in high school into your entrepreneur. Did that just springboard, or did you have a few more stoppers along the way?
Oh no, I had a roller coaster. It took me about 15 years, I think, to start to heal from being raped. And because I didn't know what had happened. And then I was a single mom. I got pregnant when I was 19. I had my son the day after I turned 20. So I was really proud that I was no longer a teenager. That was somehow significant to me. And then I ended up meeting a guy. And when I moved in with him, he relapsed into drug addiction. So I was definitely in this very unhealthy space, attracting a lot of unhealthy. And it took me a while. And then when I started paying attention to this worthiness piece, it really started to make everything make sense when I realized that I had contributed to the construction of that. Even with my drug addict boyfriend, he passed away in 99. And I had to really explore how I co-created that relationship as well, because nothing happens inside a plastic bubble. We co-create, we're in a dance. Every time we interact with somebody, we are in a dance with them, and we're responsible for our moves in that dance.
Yeah. And you moved away from being a victim to taking charge, being the captain of your ship.
Yeah. Yeah. After he died, I ended up starting my own house painting company, and I did really well. I, you know, really just focused in on putting food on the table. I was single mom on welfare most of my son's life and until I started my company. And so it was just such an empowering experience. And then I remember one time being in a gas station, and I'm in my old beat up paint van because I wasn't making enough money to buy a nice sparkly one. And I was in my paint clothes, and I had paint probably in my hair and my face, and I had a bandana on, and I'm pumping gas, and I'm tired, like dog tired. And this car pulls up to the pump in front of me, backs into the spot, and she gets out, and she's beautiful. She's in this cute little car. She's got this great little outfit. She's just drop dead beautiful. And my first thought was, oh my God, I will never be like that. I'll never be more than this. And then I looked at my truck and I saw the sign on my truck, and I went, whoa, come on now. You hire people. You help people pay their mortgage and pay their daycare and put food on their table. Stop it. And it was just this profound awareness that I had. And then bless her heart, when she walked by, she looked at me, she went, is this your company? And I said, yeah. She's go, good for you. Totally not what I was expecting when I had all of my preconceived notions about her.
And don't we do that all the time? We, you know, we look at someone and we make a decision about who that person is, and then we are so off base sometimes.
Oh, because that decision that we're making is based on our worldview, right? I had this worldview that somebody who was attractive in a nice car was better than me.
Yeah.
And I acted on that, or at least in my head, I acted on that. And then she proved me wrong, and I will always be grateful to her for that.
How long did you have Sunshine Girls painting?
I still have it.
My
My son now runs my crews, and so I'm more of I just sort of oversee the operation. And then I started domino thinking a couple of years ago, and I guess about 3 years ago now, and that's when I wrote my book and got my podcast going, and now I work with people around worthiness, and it's been so rewarding.
So now you're the cute girl in the car.
or the Jeep.
We're speaking with Allison Donaghy, and we're going to find out more about her best-selling book and domino thinking when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show.
Ready to create your own podcast? Not sure where to begin? Start with WebHelp US. They built Self Talk Radio Show's site and the site for I Love Old Time Radio Show, now boasting over 100,000 downloads. Why not have them build yours? WebHelpUS.com.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest is Allison Donaghy. And Allison, after you did Sunshine Girls painting, how did you get the epiphany for domino thinking?
Well, I started domino thinking because I've always been so fascinated with how we act on something without considering the repercussions down the road, that domino effect. Where does this decision take us? And I have a background in criminology, psychology, and sociology. That's what I was doing when I met my boyfriend, Bob, before all of the addiction took over our lives. And then I went back to school afterwards and finished it. So I've always been really fascinated with how people interact and how they work. So when I decided to write my book, it's a business book. I'd really been paying attention to how people behave in business, how they show up, and how little tweaks just makes a huge difference. It has that domino effect. And so I started with that. And then I realized quickly that without our worth being intact, nothing else can actually be intact. It becomes, you know, we talk about vulnerability, but we can't, if our internal worth isn't intact, then vulnerability becomes manipulation. I'm going to tell you this bad story about myself so that you feel bad for me, and that will make me feel better about me. Right?
Yep,
whereas
yep.
If my worth is intact, I can be vulnerable with you, and regardless of your action or reaction, I'm still okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how a lot of us start our story with adversity instead of, you know, the end in mind of saying, hey, I'm a best-selling international author. I have a popular podcast. I've been a successful entrepreneur since 2000. It's like we all want to hear where, you know, where the fall was. I don't know if that's human nature or what it is.
I think it helps us understand the journey, right? It's like when you see somebody make it big in Hollywood and you're like, oh my God, I don't know. I didn't know who they were, but look at them now. Overnight success. I could never do that. But then when you hear that their overnight success took 30 years, now you can start going, oh, I can understand how I could too do that.
It's all part of our story, the fool's journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
But we have to, it doesn't give us context. I have no context of what it's like to be a gazillionaire. So I need to back up in their story so that I have context and something I can connect to so that I could then see myself becoming a gazillionaire.
Do you find that some people are not comfortable becoming a gazillionaire or millionaire or any of that stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk a lot about the fear of failure and the fear of success and all of those things that hold us back. And I think we see ourselves the way we think the world sees ourselves. And it's usually not even close to how amazing we actually are.
Can you kind of get into a little more with the business book that you had? What propelled you to write that?
I think because I have such a passion for business because it gave me freedom. It gave me choice. And I did never had that in my life before. And if it wasn't for my business, I don't think I would have found it. I suppose I could have maybe somehow, but I can't visualize what that path would have been. And so because I really love business, I want people who are in business to be successful with it. And so I wrote this book talking about self first. Why did you pick this business over another business? Why does a barista work at Starbucks and not Tim Hortons? Or you guys don't have Tim Hortons, Krispy Kreme. What compels somebody to go down the path that they are? Why are you where you are? And once we understand that, we start to get a glimpse of what matters to us. And then when we understand what matters to us, we can build our entire business on that. So I do an exercise with people. What's the worst? So imagine if you're sitting in a restaurant and you hear somebody talking about you and your business. What is the worst thing that you could hear them say? Now, if somebody had said, oh, Allison, yeah, she's not the best painter in town, I'd be, ouch. Mm. But I wouldn't be devastated. But if they said I didn't give value, I would be devastated. I would have to go over there, interrupt and say, well, what? How do I fix this? So every single thing in my business has to provide value. If it doesn't, I get rid of it because I never want to feel myself in that situation where I have to compensate for that. And so for other people, it's different things. They talk like maybe you design violins, like maybe you build them. So customer service, if somebody said, oh, they have such a bad attitude, might not matter to you. But if somebody said you don't build the best violin, that would be devastating for them. In a way that saying I wasn't the best painter would not be devastating for me.
So how do you build confidence from that aha
one
moment?
One step at a time.
Yeah.
I worked with a woman one time and she was like, oh, I would be really upset if they said I was too much. I was over the top. And I said, why is that? And she said, because I'm always trying to tone myself down. And I said, well, what if you embraced it and said thank you when they said this about you? So it's not always about trying to find that negative. It's finding about that. Can you step into your boldness? And so she revamped all of her websites, everything, and she became this very bold individual. And she was so excited being in that space. And every choice she made supported her staying in that space.
Did you ever think when you were writing the book that it would become an international bestseller?
Oh, no, not at all. And even some of the side effects, too. I had a friend of mine in business and she read it and she said, you know, it was a great business book. I learned a lot. She said, but what I learned most was how to communicate with my son, who is a domino thinker. And she said, I never really understood he thought differently than me because she's very linear. And I thought that was amazing. Things happen in ways we can never predict.
So tell me about domino thinking.
Mm-hmm. So now I work with people around worthiness, and I do actually still have a course for my business book as well to help people understand those four pillars of business. So I talk about, self, customer, staff, and community, and how do we have a cohesive group around that and message. And then, and so now I'm working on Reclaim Your Worth, which is a program that I offer about helping people connect to their worthiness. And, you know, I just finished putting a cohort through the program, and it's just so amazing watching them step into it and saying, I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't even know I wasn't getting my worth in a healthy way.
And you also mentioned, I thought this was really good, the 5 steps to handle unexpected situations and remain calm. Right. I need this stamped on my forehead. So, yeah. Uh-huh. What are they?
Well, it's a free download on my website. So if you don't catch this all right now, you can definitely download it. But the acronym is BRAVE. And so the very first thing you do when you feel startled or offended or triggered or anything, like that feeling of, somebody said something mean to me, or somebody cut me off in traffic, like that, you know, that initial tense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feeling is said to last 4 to 7 seconds. After those 7 seconds, you're telling yourself a story. So if somebody says something and you're like, that was so mean, why do they hate me? Right. After that 7 seconds and you're still ruminating about this and you're making up stories around it. Oh, well, they think they're so great and they're doing this. And, you know, they don't even know the troubles I've had in my life. Now you're in story that has nothing to do with the sentence that they first said. So the trick is to breathe through those 4 to 7 seconds.
Oh, boy, that right there is an epiphany. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I catch myself doing that of, you know, they want to talk to me for 15 minutes tomorrow. What's that all about? What did I do?
Yeah. And then you're stressed out, right?
But yes.
Another trick, and this, I don't talk about this, but because we're on your show right now, I can talk about it, but I don't talk about it in my videos around the BRAVE process. But a friend of mine said to me, focus on the space between your feet and the floor when you're doing these breaths. And I have, and she said everybody she's done it with has had the same problem. It's really hard to build a story in your head and focus on the space under your feet.
That's such great advice. That's so cool.
Yeah, so, Amy is brilliant when it comes to that sort of stuff. And so it's if you can do that, if you can breathe, whatever way breathing works for you, right? Like if you have to pant or whatever, I don't care. Just focus under your feet and breathe through those 4 to 7 seconds.
Now, is your podcast Domino Thinking all about these techniques?
Domino Thinking, I bring on people who have moved from a victim state to a freedom state, where they have overcome adversity in their life and then talk about it. So yes, sometimes this conversation comes up and I you know, bring it up and we talk about it, that sort of thing. But mostly it's about showing the struggle so that people can identify with somebody somewhere along their journey so they can see how they could get out the other end as well.
That is so great. So Domino Thinking is the podcast. Definitely check that out. Allison, thank you so much. What's next for you? What are some things that you're working on now?
I am creating more of a platform to bring all of the things I do in together. So I have a color course that I help people understand and pick their own colors through painting. And then I have the business course, and then I have the worthiness. And so really what it is for me, it's about how do we find our happiness in our home, because our color impacts us so deeply in ways that people never even think about. Happiness in our business. And so then we have the business course, and then happiness in our personal life, where we can really start understanding our worthiness.
Allison, how do we find out more information about you?
The easiest way is just go to my website, dominothinking.com. And the BRAVE download is there, free, no obligation. And most importantly, my contact information is there. I answer all of my emails. So if anybody wants to reach out, ask any questions, definitely just go there.
That's great. Allison Donaghy has been my guest. And of course, we'll have links to all of her materials on selftalkradioshow.com. It has been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on the show, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.